We're going to remain seated. We're going to sing together number 414. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. We'll remain seated for the first part. We're going to sing together while your offering and tithe for the Lord's work will be lifted at this time. Thank you so much. Is that the Gideon magazine is in the foyer. Please help yourself to one and read up on the work that the Gideons were involved in placing scriptures in hotels and in schools and in other places, public places, right around the world. So please get that magazine and avail of it if you would. I'm going to speak to you about I want more. I'm sure you heard that more times than enough. It's interesting how often that more isn't always good for us, isn't that right, folks? As we said in Christmas morning, a moment on the lips, forever on the hips, and you can't get rid of it. But what book would you turn to, apart from the Psalms, when you want to be encouraged, or you want to be guided, or directed, or helped? When you want to turn to someone who identifies with you in every area and every aspect of your life, I'm sure you know that it'll be the book of Job. And we're turning to Job and chapter 42, and we're going to read together some of these verses of Job chapter 42. We'll read the first six verses and then from verse 10 to verse 17 and as we think about this subject of wanting more. Job chapter 42 and the first six verses, and then we're going to read from verse 10, and we'll explain what we're on about in a few moments. Job chapter 42. And the verse 1, and it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not." In other words, the interpretation of that verse is, I talked about things I knew nothing about. That's the simple answer to that verse. "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. Verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him all over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. My text is found there in the verse 12, as I've emphasized while reading. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. The world cries out for more, doesn't it? Everyone wants more. More funding, more facilities, more franchises, more free time. We live in a society that cries for more almost all the time. No matter what it gets, it wants more. The billionaire wants more deals, the politician wants more votes, the teenager wants more data, and everybody wants more. From mobile homes, to mobile phones, to motor homes, to mansion houses. Everybody wants more. While the population of those that are wanting more grows and increases, sad to say, the population of those that want more of God is ever decreasing. This word more in the book of Job in chapter 42 and verse 12 means to increase, to have a greater quantity, to have a greater measure, or to have a greater degree. Now we all know about Job's life, the time he went through, the tragedies he met, the trouble he encountered, and the pain that he felt. And yet after all of that, he didn't end up bitter. He ended up better. In other words, he improved. He increased in spirituality. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He had a greater measure of the blessing of God after all the tragedies that befell him than he had at the beginning. When we think of the end of 2018, I wonder, can many of us remember as to how we started? We had started 2018 with great aspirations, great excitement, great encouragement perhaps, or maybe the future didn't seem that bright for some of us. I wonder, how has 2018 ended? Has all the things that befallen us made us bitter or better? Have they enabled us to increase in the blessing of God or decrease from the blessing of God? I've come to the conclusion that it's not what happens us in life, it's how we react to what happens us in life. And no matter what befalls us, if we have the right attitude and the right heart and the right faith in a God who knows everything, the end from the beginning, we can increase in the blessing of God. And maybe there's someone here today and you're living with regret as to how you ended up in 2018. Maybe you're a wee bit discouraged about the choices and the decisions that you have made, and that you're at the threshold of 2019 and you're going to make a new resolution that you're going to go for God. Maybe you got a little taste of God and you say, I want more of what God did for me at the end of this year. And as you embark on this new year in 2019, you're saying, I want to go deeper. I want to go further. I want to embrace more of what God has for me. I'm not interested in finance. I'm not interested in power. I'm not interested in recognition. I'm interested in more of God. Is there anybody who's saying that today? Well, if you're really seeking to go on with God, and if you're serious about your relationship with God, then every one of us should be saying that. No, not one of us should say that we've arrived. Not one of us should say, I'm in the place where I've always wanted to be. We should always want more of God. Whenever I see the story here of Job and how he ended up with more at the end of his life than at the beginning, and I put together the things that I see that he's gone through, the only thing that I can say is here's a man that was determined to go through with God in every situation. When I say man, I mean women as well. Of course, you know that. Job's experiences have something to say to you and I about this matter of increasing in spirituality. Now, I know what you're saying. Now, the only way that Job was blessed that he got more of temporal things. But in the Old Testament, when a man increased in temporal things, it was explaining how he had increased in spiritual things because it was this blessing of God that was on his life. Now, if you're one of those people, like myself, that wants to know and go deeper with God in 2019, I have three very simple and easy things to understand. Might be complicated in explaining it, but very easy to understand as we embark on 2019. Here's first of all as I see it, and I'll be going to chapter 1 of Job and through other verses as well, but if you have your finger open, Job in chapter 1, because we're going to look at a few things about the beginning of his life. Here's the first thing I want to say to you. I want to explain to you the pathway of more. The pathway of more. Those who experience more of God are a peculiar and a special kind of people who walk on a special pathway. I mean, listen, folks. It's not just going to happen. God's not going to lift you by the scruff of the neck against your will and make you to be blessed. There is an interaction. There's a relationship. There are responses and reactions. There's an activity of life. There's a habit of life. There's an attitude of life. If you're to go deeper with God. I love what Paul says. He says, I labor till Christ be formed in you. What does that mean? Christ be formed. His actions, his attitude, his reactions, the personality, the characters of Christ, the characteristics of Christ be seen in me. Be seen in you. Well, what is this pathway? Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 8. We notice something. It's the pathway of holiness. Look what it says. And was there any man more? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And it says the same thing in verse 8 as well. It was a pathway of holiness. What does it mean? Job was ever on the run. Now, I know I'm going to ask a loaded question here. Has any of you ever been on the run? Oh, there's a few boys here. Some of you did time for it, isn't that right? You've been on the run. Yes. Has any of you women ever been on the run from a man? Any of you men been on the run? There's one there. Yes. Job was on the run. He was on the run from sin. He was on the run from evil. He was always on the run from wickedness and all of those things that came between him and God. Whenever he noticed anything that was going to come between him and God, he ran from it, just like Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. He ran from himself, from her, because he knew that this was going to come between him and God. That's the pathway of holiness. anything that comes on the horizon of your life that you know is threatening your relationship with God, that word is skewed evil. He fell out with sin and he fell in love with Jesus. It's a pathway of holiness. Can I ask you this morning, are you walking the pathway of holiness? This man had many things that threatened to trip him up. His wealth, his notoriety, aye, folks, and even his disappointments. Even his wife said, Job, curse God and die. Listen, Job never took the advice of his friends, because if he had taken the advice and the attitude of his friends, he'd been down in the gutters. He ran. The Bible, my Bible tells me, listen up now, you're in for a bit of a feed. You've got plenty of feed on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. You're in for a feed here this morning. My Bible tells me, flee from every appearance of evil. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Here's what Paul said to the church. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And this isn't only talking about relationships. This is talking about attitudes. Flee from those things that will pull you down. Can two walk together except to be agreed? It's a pathway of holiness, friends. You don't allow man, woman, or beast, or situation, circumstance, disappointments, or opportunities to come between you and God, because this is a pathway of holiness. And if you're going to a deeper walk with God, then you must walk the way of holiness. Jesus said, many are called, as I love the way W.P. Nicholson says it, but few are choice ones. Choice ones. Very quickly, notice not only is it a pathway of holiness, it's a pathway of honesty. Look at those first four verses of chapter 42. That's Job being honest with God. And as I pointed out when I was reading, he says, Lord, I tried to talk and explain an answer to those friends that I had of things that I had no idea what I was talking about. You know, isn't it the hardest thing ever to be honest, isn't it? I mean, we'll dress ourselves up and we'll have a nice tie on and we'll put on nice perfume and we'll have our shoes reasonably well polished, depending on what you think about your shoes, and we'll try to put up as nice appearance as we can. But inside, that's where honesty is. The psalmist said, Thou God, knowest me, you see me. And he walked, the psalmist walked in the knowledge and in the consciousness that though all men might have misunderstood him and misrepresented him, he was happy that God knew him. Do you get what I'm saying? Honesty. David fell out in love with God and he fell out in love with men and he fell in love with another woman called Bathsheba. And when he fell in love with another woman, we know that men lost their lives. More than one man lost their lives because of David's sin. Because he sent people to the front line. I want to tell you, dishonesty kills the faith of other believers. It does. But he says in Psalm 34, when I was in misery, when I was under conviction, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I can almost feel his agony, can't you? In other words, he was trying to hide his sin with Bathsheba. He was trying to ignore the fact that it happened. But he came to an end of himself, he said, and he says in Psalm 51, against you, you only have I sinned. And then he says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. What does all this mean? Just being honest about where you feel God. Just be honest. Do you have to come in front of the church and tell the whole church? Absolutely not. But where you have wronged the church, then you have to come and confess your wrong to the church. But we must recognize that our sin is against God. And our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And our hearts will confuse us. Our hearts will condemn us. But our hearts will never want us to tell the truth. Just be honest. I wonder what would it be like if I asked everybody and say the Lord himself was here. Right, give an honest report of your walk this week. Boy, I think we'd all shiver, wouldn't we? I think we'd all melt away. We would all want to creep into the crevices and we'd want to hide our hearts from the things we've listened to, the things we've been involved in, the things that we've watched over Christmas and we thought it was entertainment. The best entertainment that I had was Top Gear. It was on all Christmas. I saw the Patagonia episode. That was where they were run out of Argentina. I thought, good for Argentina. I'm not that very fond of Jeremy Clarkson, to be honest with you. I think he's an arrogant, ignorant kind of an article. But he's entertaining to watch, isn't he? But I want to tell you, you can't even watch the adverts anymore. Be honest. Against thee, God. You know what confession, you've heard me say this before, but there's a lot of you new believers here. You know what confession is? Just getting honest with God. Just getting honest with yourself. Because God already knows what you've done. Do you think God is blind? Do you think he's stupid? So what does it mean to confess? I agree with what God thinks about me. That's confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Oh, my dear friends, Job walked the path of holiness. Job walked the path of honesty. Job walked the path of humility. You'll see that in verses 20 to 22 of chapter 1. You'll also see it in chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. He says, Lord, I deserve everything that's happening to me. We think everybody should throw out the red carpet for us. We think that we should be treated like kings and queens. If you thought becoming a Christian was going to have you been treated like a king or a queen, then you are greatly deceived. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In answer to his wife, he said, but we receive good and bad, and either comes from the Lord. So what? Because God is sovereign. God is good all the time, no matter whether it's dark or bright. That's humility. In other words, this word humility means to get under. He put himself under God and said, Lord, you're master of my life. I'm not Lord. Now listen, our world is telling us that you're the most important thing in this world. That's the way you're educated now. And whatever is good, do it. Whatever you want, get it. Whatever tastes nice, go for it. Because you're the most important thing in this world. You are not the most important. Sorry to tell you, and I'm sorry to disappoint you this Christmas. You are not the most important. God is. Pathway. Oh, my dear friends, the pathway of more is one of holiness, honesty, and humility. Well, what's the price of more? Well, have you read Job lately? Hands up those of you who read the book of Job. What? Only that few. Imagine getting to heaven and Job asking, did you read my book? Huh? Sorry, Job, it was so old I didn't think it was relevant. Huh? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, and righteousness. All scripture. Yeah, even 1st and 2nd Chronicles and the book of Leviticus. All those names that I'm reading, and I wonder, and yet in the midst of all of those names, if you did a little bit of historical digging, you'll find men of faith. The price of more. I want to tell you, getting the more that God wants for you is not cheap. I've said it a few times since I've come into this church, and I've said it a few times more recently. Salvation's free, but it'll cost you everything. Well, what was the price that Job paid to have the more of God? The price of less stuff. He was stripped of his finances, his family, his fitness, his friends, and his farm animals. Do you like all my F's, do you? No, you don't. Took me a long time thinking that up. Yeah, he lost his finances. He lost his family. He lost his fitness. He lost his friends and he lost his farm animals. The Bible tells you that from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot was afflicted with boils and sores. His children were all killed, and his family were all stolen, or his farm animals were all stolen. Does that mean, my dear friend, that you have to lose your family and friends and your finances and your fitness and your farm animals if you have any? The only thing that I'll say to you is this. If it comes between you and God, it has to go. You hear that now? If it comes between you and God, it has to go. You say, Jesus said, he that doesn't hate his father or mother, and I know people get all confused. That word hate means you love them less than you love God. I know people put family before God. That is not a healthy decision. It's not a healthy decision. Can you not trust God with your family? Can you not trust God with your finances? Can you not trust God with your fitness? Sometimes our faith goes out the window when we're not feeling so well. And the first thing to go is church attendance. The price of less stuff. In fact, Jesus gives us good instruction as to how we are to view stuff. Listen, those of you who are chasing the ambition of being multimillionaires before you're 30, listen. By the way, hands up those of you who are still working on your first million. Hands up those of you who are working on your second million. Come on now. Oh, good man. Well, I want to tell you, sir, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and not one of them sick. Here's what Jesus said. Listen, I jest, of course. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Here's what it says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do I lay up treasure in heaven? Good works. What? Good works. Good prayer life. Good attitude. And a generous heart. But we are so full of self. And we are so full of making the next milestone in the riches of our life, that we forget that we are to live for the future, not for the here and now. Sometimes it'll take a lot less stuff. Sometimes the price is less of self, as I've already intimated. Let's be honest. Self doesn't want a deeper experience with God if self has to decrease. Isn't that true? Isn't that right? Boy, you're very mealy-mouthed. I know that. I knew this would be hard to listen to, but nevertheless, I was going to preach it anyway. You see, whenever self has to pay the price by decreasing, it reluctantly lets go. But there have been a few men in the Bible and in our world, and if you've read any good missionary books, you're going to know and discover that every man that was anything for God, it cost him his self. But we pamper ourselves and we pollute ourselves with all the rubbish of the day, and we'll... Hands up those of you who were addicted to chocolate over Christmas. Oh, yeah. Gluttons. Hands up those of you who went for seconds on Christmas Day. Hands up those of you who went for more than 2 desserts. What you did. And the rest of you, you're all liars. I'm sorry. I take that all back. I repent. I take that all back. I don't mean that, of course. I just... But listen. But the attitude is this. That... We favor ourselves, we feed ourselves, we finance ourselves because we are important. We are important. Here's what John said in chapter 3, verses 30 to 31. He must increase and I must decrease. You know what he was saying to his disciples? He was saying to his disciples, I need to become less prominent in your eyes so that God may become more prominent in your eyes. And here's what Jesus said about John the Baptist then. That clock stopped, by the way. I thought it was only 10 past. Let me rush on. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. I say unto you, Jesus said, among them that are born of women, there is not risen greater than John the Baptist. That's the price of the more. Very quickly, and you need to get this because there's always a carrot, there's always a blessing, there's always something that comes from the gracious and goodness and the generous hand of God when we pay the price for the more of God. There's the privileges of more. Chapter 42, verses 8 to 10. Job is proven here to have been in a place of intimacy with God. See who God turns to get him to pray for his friends. Job. I mean, I have to say, now get this, that Job wasn't right in everything he said in response to all his friends, but his attitude and his heart was right. He just didn't know everything as he witnessed and testified in the first four verses of chapter 42. He said, I spoke in my ignorance. You know, God doesn't always punish us because of our ignorance, you know that? Sometimes we think we're doing the right thing when we're doing the wrong thing. You get me? It's like the wee girl that loved her daddy. And he came in out of the cold one day and she got her daddy's slippers. And guess where she put them? In the oven. And after 15 minutes when she thought they were warm enough, she scraped them out of the oven because they were all melted. Did the father beat her? No. Why? Because the father saw the motivation of her heart. And sometimes we can be doing the wrong thing, but for the right motive. And God always reads our heart. He was a man of God's power. I want to be clear here, folks. We don't want to walk away on the pathway of holiness, less of self and more of God, just so we can order God around, telling him to do something he has no intention or no design to do. But those who have power with God are those who have come into a close, mutual, intimate relationship where God takes respect unto their petitions. I love that picture of Elijah. Boy, he marches in there to Ahab. We haven't even had any introduction. We don't know who Elijah is. Nobody's given us any of his background. And he just marches in there to Ahab and he says, because you have sinned with Jezebel, because you've taken on to her the bride, and because you've mixed yourself with the Sidonians, he says, there's going to be no rain for 3.5 years. And I don't read anywhere where God told him to say that. But his heart was so in tune with God that he knew what God wanted. And I'll tell you, here's what it says. Psalm 25 and verse 4. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Listen, the folks that have power with God are so in tune with God that they know what is God's plan. I was going to say it was in the mind of God, but none of us know the mind of God. We just know that he wants to bless people. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see people walking in fellowship with him. But when we are so in tune with God, you can speak the judgment and the justice of God as if God, well, I'm not going to say that because I wouldn't be right to say it, but you know, you're so in tune with God, you know what God's purpose and intention is. Man of God's power, he's a man of God's provision. He didn't have to worry. Verse 11. He didn't have to worry about where his provision was. God had it in hand. We look at Elijah and the ravens. Ravens are an unclean creature. Raven means messenger. Messenger. And every day they flew in to Elijah at the brook Cherith. A message from God, I'll provide your need. I'll provide your need. Morning and evening, I'll provide your need. And the last we thought is, there was more of God's praises. Boy, there needs to be a lot more praise out of our lips. You know that. Any of you sleep rough last night? Any of you no food yesterday? We need to be a people who are living in a wee land where we're free. Free to worship God. I wasn't afraid to come to church this morning with you. I tell you, we need to be a lot more praise, but there needs to be a lot more praise, because I praise God that we're in the day of grace. I'm saved. Praise God, I'm saved. 35 plus years, and I'm still saved. And I could sing the hymn with Jim Reeves, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Listen, we have something to rejoice about today. Get those long faces off your face and get a smile and joy in your heart, because he loves us with an everlasting love. Listen. Let me look at these three names that were given to us in Job, because there's something about it. That word Jemima means day or dove. He turns our darkness into light. God has brought peace out of his turmoil. All things work together for good to them that love God. All things. God can turn your greatest nightmare into a celebration. Notice not only Jemima, but Keziah means fragrance. Fragrance. God has replaced the stench of defeat and death with the victory, with the fragrance of victory. Notice Karen Hapuch means box of eye ointment. Cosmetics. He brings glory and brightness into the gloominess of his life. Isn't that a reason to praise the Lord? May we have the desire this incoming year for the pathway of more of him. May we have the courage to accept the price of having more of him. And may we have the blessing of the privilege of knowing more of him this year. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we meditate, consider, Lord, on this great life, we ask in Jesus' name that you will cause us to raise up a people celebrating the joy and the victory and the blessing of knowing our great God. Lord, we pray that you'll seal this word in our hearts, cause us to rejoice in your love and your goodness. May your peace fill our hearts and your joy fill our souls. May your love fill our lives, and may, Lord, our feet be guided and directed in the steps that God has ordered for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 607, we're going to stand and sing this last hymn. 607, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. 607, we'll get you to stand and sing together, please. And if it's all right, we'll sing verses 1, 2, and verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1, 2, and 3. The first three verses of 607, and then we'll pray. Thank you very much. Just the first three verses. Yeah. it is in verse, there it is in song. Surrender to Him. I don't think we really know what it means to surrender anymore. Just surrender it. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that Your grace, Your love, Your mercy, Your peace, Your power, as we separate from this place, may be filled with the knowledge and the sense of Your presence, awareness of Your guiding light and Your speaking voice. Bless this wee church, Lord. We're going to be a wee bit selfish, Lord. We pray they'll bless us, Lord. Bless us in that we might know Your protection. We might know Your great grace. We might know, Lord, Your peace. We might know, Lord, that coming together of each other, that we might encourage one another in these dark days. That we might be able to lift up one another, be a support for one another. Be, Lord, all that Your word declares we ought to be. That we might truly see the blessing of God, the more of God in 2019. We ask it in Christ's name and for His sake. And His glory, Lord. You know that. It's for His glory, not for us. We don't want this church to be published about that we're the greatest church in the country. Lord, we just want to be humble and holy and bowing at Your feet, knowing Your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.